Right, our next speaker is Jason Clark, University of Minnesota. Can the anaerobic, potentially mineralizable nitrogen test improve predictions of fertilizer nitrogen rates in the Corn Belt?
Thank you. Right, so we know that our main, that corn needs nitrogen for optimal growth and yield, and those main sources of nitrogen are from either the decomposition and mineralization of organic materials that move that organic end back to inorganic end that the plant can then take up. And what isn't supplied through that, those types of processes can be then supplied through synthetic nitrogen fertilizers. However, the tricky part here is that the amount that's supplied through the decomposition of organic materials is quite variable. And to give an example of that, if we look at the 32 site years from the study that I'll be presenting today, we can see that if we look at our grain yield on our y-axis, we range anywhere from 2 all the way up to 14,000 kilograms per hectare in yield without nitrogen being applied in these 32 sites. So we can see that that potential for mineralizable N is quite variable depending on your site and your location and your year. So if we could have some type of test that we could be able to better predict that variability and predict the amount of mineralizable nitrogen and thus be able to better predict our economic optimum N rates, that would help us increase our nitrogen use efficiency. And one test that can potentially do this is called the anaerobic potentially mineralizable nitrogen, or throughout the rest of this presentation I'll just say the PMN test for brevity's sake. So for this part right here, in order to do this test, we took a soil sample and incubated it for a number of days in anaerobic conditions that were created with 20 mils of water above the soil. And then after an incubation period, that sample was shaken and filtered, and then an ammonium nitrogen soil test was used. In this case, we used a colorimetric test where the darker blues are your higher concentrations of ammonium, your lighter are your lower concentrations. And you take that value and subtract it from the initial amount of ammonium in your soil to get a net amount. So this is the basics of the test, but our real question is, so we have this test, what's our best protocol that we can use in order to best predict our economic optimum N rate? So some of the things that we varied within this test was our soil sampling timing, first of all. Standard, you're going to take your soil sample pre-plant. But as if we look at the weather throughout the Midwest, we usually have heavy rainfalls early spring, and the plant's not taking up very much nitrogen. So if we move the soil sampling timing closer to when that plant's taking up more nitrogen and our chance of loss is lower, we might be able to get a better predictive value. So we both looked at pre-plant and our V5, or 5-leaf stage timing. And then also, most farmers are going to put some nitrogen fertilizer on at planting, and that nitrogen fertilizer can impact the amount and timing of your nitrogen mineralization. So that V5 timing, what we did is we looked at sampling a plot that had zero nitrogen added at planting and also one that had 180 kilograms of nitrogen added at planting. And then from there, the other thing that we can kind of manipulate with this test is the incubation length. Standard, you're looking at 7 days, but if we potentially increase that length of incubation, there's a chance that we can differentiate the mineralization potential of each site, as well as maybe increase our ability to predict our economic N rate. Another thing that we looked at in the site or in the studies, we didn't only want to know what factors went into changing our PMN values, but we wanted to look at what soil characteristics and things like that are influencing what PMN values we're getting. So we took a look at all the soil parameters that you're looking right here, but today, for time's sake, I'll only be showing how organic matter influenced our values. So in this study, it's a regional study, so we're looking at 8 states throughout the Midwest, those in dark green. The stars represent the sites that we had soil samples from, and each year of the study, we had 2 sites in each state for both 2014 and 2015 for a total of 32 sites. And we'll have a total of 49 sites after this year's data is in. So we use the randomized complete block design, where we use nitrogen fertilizer treatments to create 2 nitrogen response curves ranging from 0 nitrogen all the way up to 315 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare. And we use 2 timings with this. We wanted a single nitrogen application where you're putting all that on at planting, and a split nitrogen application where you're putting 45 at planting, and the rest you're waiting till that 9-leaf stage, which is closer to that increased N uptake. And what we did Israel to take the nitrogen rate here on our x-axis that we had from the treatment and regress it against our grain yields. And what that does for us is that we see that our yield increases as the N rate increases until we hit these areas around here where we hit kind of a plateau. And from that, we're able to calculate our economic N rates for both a single nitrogen application and also a split, and then regress those against those PMN values that we got in order to see what protocol is going to get us the best predictability of EONR. So just kind of give us an idea of the range of values that we found in this study over 32 sites and all treatments. We have anywhere from a minimum value of 0.19 to a maximum of 136 and a mean of 36 milligrams of nitrogen per kilogram of soil in that top 30 centimeters. And if you take that 36 and use the bulk density of each site, that's basically saying the mean value of each of these sites is around 140 kilograms of mineralizable nitrogen per hectare is what we're getting. So this graph, we're looking at our PMN value in our y-axis and our percent organic matter across all of our 32 sites, which ranged from anywhere around 1 to almost 5.5%. And what we learned here is that organic matter was a pretty strong driver of our PMN values. And we noticed that with the regression line, we're getting for every 1% increase in organic matter, it's about an 18 milligrams of nitrogen per kilogram of soil increase in mineralizable nitrogen, around 80 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare. That's possibly getting there to drive those PMN values. So back to our first question, kind of our first objective is how does sampling timing, incubation length, and soil nitrogen, our fertilizer nitrogen, affect our PMN values? Here, and for most of these graphs, we're going to have our PMN values in our y-axis. And then here we have our 7, 14, and 28-day incubation lengths in the bars. And then on our x-axis, we have our soil textures. And right here in the parentheses is the number of sites in each of those soil textures. And then from left to right, we're going from our high sands to our lower sand, and we're increasing our clay content as we go across here. And the main message we're getting is if you look at each of these textures, we have the same story. Our PMN values are increasing with incubation length. So it's a possibility there that we could find something to increase our prediction. So here we're looking at the next question, how does soil sampling timing influence our PMN values? And so in our blue bar here, we have our pre-plant timing. Our orange bar is our B5 timing. And our x-axis now is going to be our statistical groups. So, and a parenthesis of the number of sites that fall in that statistical group right there. So here we notice that in 11 sites, whether we sample at pre-plant or whether we sample at V5, these 11 sites, it didn't matter, we're getting a similar PMN value. Whereas if we move to these 9 sites right here, our pre-plant PMN value is greater than our V5. And then we have 10 other sites where our pre-plant value is less than our V5. So then kind of getting into what's driving this is some of the preliminary analysis I've been looking at so far is a lot of it, the main factor that came back was temperature. And that temperature in the period between our pre-plant sampling and our V5 sampling. So in that time period, if we have increased temperatures, or the higher the temperature, the lower the V5 PMN value, which correlates well because if we think about the mineralization, those microbes like warmer temperatures, and as those temperatures increase, that mineralization of the microbes is going to increase. And so they're going to, first of all, most likely get after that easily decomposable material, leaving more difficult to decompose material by the V5 stage, which may be the reason why we're having a lower amount of PMN values at the later time in some of those sites. So then the second question was, okay, what does nitrogen fertilizer addition do to our PMN values if we're looking at the B5 sampling timing? So here, our axis again is the same. Our blue bar now is our zero nitrogen plot, and our orange bar is our 180N plot. And so we can see here in these statistical groups, in 19 sites, it didn't matter if we put nitrogen on or not. Our PMN values are similar. In 11 sites, our nitrogen addition decreased our PMN values. And in 2 sites, we actually had an increase of PMN when we added nitrogen. And the interesting thing about one of those 2 sites, the mean difference between the 180 and 0 N is only about 3 milligrams of nitrogen, which is similar to the 19 sites that were similar. So it had a really low standard error. So statistically, there was a difference, but realistically, it's probably not. So we only had about one site that made that difference with the addition of nitrogen. So kind of summarize our first objective. Our PMN values did increase with incubation length, and our soil sampling timing and nitrogen fertilizer addition had an impact on some sites, but not every site. So then kind of what it goes into as our next objective is, so we found that there are some differences, which is good, which gives us the potential of maybe being able to better predict our ANR value with these different protocols that we're looking at. So in this next graph, that's the question that we're going to address. And so this is a plot. We're looking at the ability of our PMN values at different soil sampling times, which is our pre-plant and our V5 at the three different incubation lengths, and then their ability to predict EONR of split nitrogen applications. We'll talk about the single nitrogen application EONR next. But what we're looking at here is our blue bars, and our y-axis on this side is our root mean square error. And that's basically what we're looking for, is we want a low one of those in order to better predict our EONR. And on our right axis is our R-squared values, and we're looking at, we want higher ones there. So if we just look at our basic pre-plant 7-day and then look at our 14 and 28 day as we go across, we see it stays fairly level, showing that as we increase in incubation length, our PMN values did change, but that didn't help our ability to predict EONR. And if we look at our V5 timings, we find the same trend there. And if we compare, well, what if we went later to our V5 sampling compared to our pre-plant? We had a slight difference. We actually increased our root mean square, which is not what we wanted from V5. So this is basically letting us know that delaying that sampling time or increasing incubation length isn't going to get us what we wanted, isn't really increasing our ability to predict EONR. And so if this is with split nitrogen applications and predicting EONR, so if we take a look at our ability to predict EONR of single nitrogen applications, you get pretty much the same picture. The only real difference that we're looking at here for single applications is we see at split nitrogen applications, our root mean square is 65, maybe 70. Our single nitrogen application root mean square is going to be near 80. So our PMN value with split nitrogen applications is better than with our ability to use PMN values to predict single nitrogen applications. And that's kind of the summary, is that we didn't really find increasing incubation length or delaying soil sampling or nitrogen fertilizer additions improved our ability to predict our economic N rate. But we're not done yet. We're still looking at this test and see what it can do, because it is just giving us an estimate of what the potential is. So going forward, what I'll be doing is combining those PMN values with our soil nitrate values and also other weather and soil characteristics to see if we can come up with a better prediction of our economic N rate, as well as yield and other factors like that. And I'll also be looking at, can we not only use this PMN value with maybe soil nitrate, but can we use it in conjunction with other soil nitrogen tools, such as pre-plant soil nitrate tests, pre-side dress soil nitrate tests, or canopy sensing in the future, to see if that can better help us estimate the amount of nitrogen that we need to add to our corn fields. And with that, I'd just like to thank the Pioneer Regional Nitrogen team for their support in this project, as well as DuPont Pioneer for funding. And I'll leave it to questions at that.
All right, any questions?
Percent basis?
Per sample.
Oh, per sample. I remember right, it was around $5 per sample, but I'd have to ask again. That's been a while.
Yes.
The soil was dried before.
Question is, how much of that is driven by fertility versus other factors like timing and rainfall?
And when you're dealing with mineralization, they're all kind of, your timing of rainfall is extremely important. The amount of organic matter and the type of organic matter, how well and easily it can be decomposed, are all factors in your mineralization. So they're all kind of conjunctive. I'm not sure which one's more important than the other, but they all are interrelated and kind of work together to get that ultimate value. But even if the rainfall is really important.